All right. Tonight we're going to be talking about one mind, and I wanted to start off by asking a question. Who here has played a sport or is in the band or has anything to do with a team-oriented type thing? Good. I'm glad everyone raised their hands because you're all on a team tonight. But I played baseball my whole life, and I had many coaches. I started when I was real young, but my high school coach was someone who was he told you how it was, and the way he wanted us to act as a team is he wanted us to be selfless. He wanted us to have a team mindset. And one of those ways he would do it is by our batting practices. He was a little out there when it came to this, but we would set up and get ready for batting practice. And usually what would happen was one of us who weren't pitchers, we would throw batting practice just so the pitcher's arms wouldn't get tired or hurt or anything like that. But when we came to practice and everything was already set up and he was the one standing on the mound, we knew they were going to have a rough practice, because what he liked to do was he would actually, while we were batting, he would throw the ball at us purposely. He would actually hit us with the ball. And we weren't allowed to move, because if we moved, we would have to run around the field twice, and we'd have to do like 20 push-ups or something like that. And what happened is when we would be up to bat, the only thing we were allowed to do is we were allowed to turn our shoulder so we wouldn't get hit in the face or anything, but we had to get hit with the ball. But the reason he did this was because he didn't want us worrying about our stats or anything. He wanted us, when we were up to bat, to do anything to get on base, because once you get on first base, you're closer to home, and you're going to score for the team. And in a lot of ways, that's how God wants us to be. He wants us, as believers, to be a team. He wants us to be on the same page, have one purpose, and have one central mind, his mind. It says in Philippians 2:1-5, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consultation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, and any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. See, Paul doesn't just tell us we need to be unified. He tells us how to actually be unified. We need to adopt the attitude of Christ, and by doing so, we need to have the same love, leave selfish ambition behind, and humble ourselves and care for others more than ourselves. And it's important to incorporate this attitude because we weren't really meant to be alone. We weren't meant to do things alone. We're stronger as a team. Even King Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live, even said this in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone empowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. See, we have one purpose, and that's to share the gospel with others. And we do that through our words and through our actions. And we're stronger as a team, unified with the attitude of Christ. And we don't do this any better than actually showing love to people. And now, I'm not talking about a romantic love. I'm actually talking about a genuine, authentic love that you actually show that you care about someone. It's honestly why God created us. He created us to love him and to love others. That was his sole purpose of creating us. But honestly, what is love? This is what the Bible says love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep records of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now let me ask this question. Is this the kind of love you honestly see in people in society nowadays? No. Me either. I think the way society has taught us in our generations what love is it's self-seeking. It's what can I get out of it? It's me, 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 me. It's about jealousy. It's about envy. No one really loves correctly. And Paul says earlier in this passage that you have nothing if you don't have love. Love is important. And I think it's something that we're missing nowadays. You guys have the opportunity to show people love in your schools. You have the opportunity to show them here. This is where it starts. I have a video I want you guys to watch. The man speaking in it is Ravi Zacharias. He's an apologist. He's at a conference, and someone asks him a question about something he said earlier in the conference, and that it was about this Jew at a Holocaust. He was digging his own grave, and a Nazi shot him. And the guy asked the question, if God loved that man and he was watching him, why didn't he stop that trigger? Why didn't he pull the guy's leg back and make that guy not get shot? So go ahead and watch this video. I want you to listen to what Ravi has to say.
But you will never be choosing to express that sentiment and the reality of love. If love is a supreme ethic and freedom is indispensable to love, and God's supreme goal for you and for me is that we will love him with all of our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves, for him to violate our free will would be to violate that which is a necessary component so that love can flourish and love can be expressed. If you're asking for God to always stop the trigger, why not God stop everything else? Next time you hold a cup of boiling water, he makes it frozen water instead. Next time you're about to cross the street and you're going to be hit, he pulls your leg back. What you're asking for is a different entity than humanity. As wonderful as it may seem that in stopping that you think he is protecting you from that which is destructive, the greatest denial that you're asking for is the freedom of your will to be able to choose and to love God with all your heart and all your soul. When you've got love as the supreme ethic and the freedom of the will to choose that love, all of the other contingencies come in and can become explained why it is possible to either choose or to reject so that love can ultimately reign supreme. If you want compliance and some kind of a mechanical response, your question itself will self-destruct. You're asking the question because you're free to ask it, and you're free to ask it because you're free to love. And when you love him, in spite of all of the contraries that you see around us, you're trusting him for having the supreme wisdom and the knowledge to ultimately bring a pattern out of it all. We think, for example, we know so much. The story is told in Mideastern folklore of this man who lost his horse that ran away. And when the horse ran away, the neighbor came to him and said, you know, bad luck, isn't it? Your horse is gone. He said, what do I know about these things? A few days later, the horse came back with 20 other wild horses. And the neighbor came and said, amazing, it's not bad luck, it's good luck. You've got 20 more. Man says, what do I know about these things? His young son is going and taming one of the new horses. That young horse kicks him and breaks his leg. The neighbor comes and says, terrible, isn't it? Your son's leg is broken. Bad luck that these horses came. The fellow says, what do I know about good luck and bad luck? A few days go by and a bunch of thugs are coming looking for recruits to join their gang. And they're looking for all the able-bodied young men. And they're about to pick this young man but find out his leg is broken. And they say, we don't want him. We're going to move on to the next house. So the man comes and says, good luck, isn't it? Your son's leg was broken. In one little series of episodes, we don't know what lies ahead. Why don't you wait till you stand before God face to face, and you will find out there were reasons why he didn't stop that trigger, so that you will see the heinousness of evil and see the majesty of love and good managing to navigate yourself by the as the pilgrim's progress to come to the celestial city.
The one thing that stuck out to me in that video is he said you are free to love. I think that's something that none of us really honestly think about. You're free to love. The supreme ethic of God is love. And his highest value is you guys, is us. You matter. He loves you. Everyone is loved the same by him. I love you. These adult leaders love you. You are God's highest value. And I think not enough people hear that nowadays, especially in these schools. With all these bad things happening, like the school shootings and the suicides around here, so many people in your schools or in your lives need to hear that they're loved. I know there's probably some people in this room right now that probably have never even felt like they were loved. But it starts with you guys. It starts in this room. It starts with us being unified as one. Love is God's supreme ethic, and I don't want people to think that because of these school shootings or suicides, like, we're blaming you guys or anything like that. We're talking about prevention. When you talk about people, you see, there was just a march about the gun laws, and there's all these things about putting metal detectors in schools and see-through backpacks, but that isn't going to fix the issue. The issue right now in this world is there's no love. There's no love, and no one has the answers for everything, but if you guys listen to that Middle Eastern folklore story he had, you don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen, but something that I see that I think God is making it known is that you guys are on the forefront of this battle. Satan's trying to directly attack you guys with all these issues to make you feel hopeless. You guys are the ones that can make the change. Since you have the freedom to love, you have the freedom to change the world. It starts with you guys, because all the issues are happening with you guys. There's no one else. You guys are the ones to make this change in the world. And to show that love, you have to humble yourselves and become servants to others. That's the second part of Christ's attitude. And it says, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus humbled himself and came down to this earth as a man. And he took his equality away from God so he could die on the cross for you. And that's something we should look at doing ourselves, where we know that we're no better than one another. You're no better than the weird kid that's walking down the hallways. You're no better than anyone else because you're more athletic or you're more musically talented than someone. You're no better than anyone. We're all the same. God loves us all the same. And we need to understand that. We need to have the attitude of humbleness, knowing that we're all broken. No matter who we are, we're all broken. But that's the reason for the cross, is Jesus loves you enough to come down here and humble himself enough as God. He's God. He didn't have to do that. He could have been like, easily, when he was getting arrested, he could have been like, peace. I'm peacing out. I don't want to do this. I'm God. I can go wherever I want. No, he loved you enough to do that. And that's something that is so important that we need to do as believers. And it starts right in this room, right now. I was that person that felt hopeless. I was in a dark, dark place. And I honestly didn't feel like I wanted to live anymore. But there was one person that came to me that took the chance to love me. They loved me, and it completely changed my life. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that one person who decided to take a chance, that had a love that wasn't self-seeking. I took that chance no matter what was going on in my life. If that person decided to tell me I was doing something wrong or wanted to help me and it could have ruined our friendship, they didn't care. They loved me enough to not leave me where I'm at. And that's something that is very real. I know some of you guys are going through that right now. I know some of you guys feel hopeless. I know there's people in the hallways at school that feel hopeless. You guys need to let them know that they're loved. And it doesn't have to be some elaborate thing that you do. It could be as simple as acknowledging someone who's walking alone in the hallways. could be someone sitting at their lunch table all by themselves. And you just say hi to them or ask them to come sit with you. Because as it says here, you need to humble yourself. Who cares about what people think if you go sit with someone that would ruin your reputation and make you look uncool? None of that matters. It doesn't. So my connection point for the night is think like Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and we're the body. We need to start thinking like him. Let's use his mind. Let's adopt what he tells us to do. Honestly, it's really not that hard. We just got to get past our selfish ambition. And we need to humble ourselves enough to understand that everyone deserves to feel loved. That's what God created us to do. That's what he made Adam and Eve for. So love one another and love him. There's a verse that ends this section of Philippians 2. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering in a sacrificial service of your faith, I'm glad to rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad to rejoice with me." If that verse doesn't hit you right in the heart, like it literally said, in a crooked and perverted generation. I don't know about you guys, but I don't really see too much good in the world right now. It's very perverted. It's very crooked. Everything is completely wrong. There's nothing right about it. And it says right here that whom you shine like stars in the world. You guys are lights to this world. You guys are shine like stars. As long as you're faithfully obedient to God and you think like him. I know a lot of people think that God puts all these rules and regulations on things, but is it really that hard to love someone? I know it may seem like it is. And you might lose some friends, or people might think you're a little crazy. But we just talked about these past few weeks about you matter. Everyone matters. Everyone matters to God. Everyone deserves to be loved. I want you to go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes. And I really want you to think about that. Just no one's looking around. No one's talking. And honestly, if there's any one of you tonight that you felt like you're hopeless, or you're not loved, or maybe this is the first time in a really long time you've heard that you are loved, I'm going to tell you right now again, you are loved. You're loved by God. You're loved by the adult leaders in here. You're loved by everyone in here. We're a family. We're supposed to be a family. We're supposed to be unified. And I want you to know about the greatest love that's ever happened, because we don't have perfect love. We're not perfect. There's a man, Jesus, who came down to this earth as God, gave up his perfect life for you. He died on the cross. He was whipped. He was beaten. And he did it without hesitating, because he loves you. And he defeated death in 3 days. And I'm gonna ask this question, and I would hope everyone in here would have an answer to this. And if you don't, I would love to talk to you tonight. Any of these leaders would love to talk to you. Jay would love to talk to you. Could you honestly answer the question that if you walked out of this room right now and you were never to come back, Would you know if you're going to heaven? Would you know if you get to spend eternity in perfect peace in heaven? If not, we would love to talk to you guys tonight. We would be so glad to talk to you. It would make our nights great. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we learned that we need to be unified here, Lord. We need to love one another. We need to love others. We need to love you. We need to humble ourselves and become faithful servants to you and to others. Lord, I pray that our hearts were softened tonight, Lord, that your word saturated it. Lord, I pray that if anyone needs to talk tonight, whether they feel hopeless, whether they don't know if they're going to heaven or not, Lord, I just pray that they would have the courage to talk to someone. Lord, I ask you to bless the rest of this night and keep us all safe as we go home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.